Now, we are going to, now what we're going to do is we are going to move over to Formula One. Because as we know, last night we had the Chinese Grand Prix, new sprint format, a lot of things to talk about and quite a few controversial bits and pieces as well. Delighted to be joined by Dara Canning of P1 Predict, who joins me to tell me more about this. Dara, how are you? I suppose you did get up in the middle of the night to watch the sprint, but it was, let's say, an interesting weekend.
It was indeed, and I did get up, absolutely. And for once, it's quite nice to have the early races because it means I've gotten to make the most of the sunshine all weekend as well, not to be stuck inside between 3 and 6 watching a race. So yeah, interesting weekend, as you mentioned. We've got, it's the first time we've been there since 2019. It's the first time these current batch of cars have raced in Shanghai. And to top it off, we've been treated to this new sprint format. So what happened this weekend is on Friday, there was one free practice session and then the drivers were straight into the sprint qualifying session. Now that's unusual because it means that they had 1 hour to get acclimatized to the track, to get their setups locked in. And then after that, they were locked in with them until after the sprint race. What we did see was FP1 was quite unusual and irregular, but then for the sprint quali, we started off as you would expect, your top 15 drivers going through, the Verstappens, Perez, all going through. And then the rain comes for SQ3. And that's when it starts to get very, very interesting. Verstappen did not perform as well as he could have. But to be fair, that track had been resurfaced this year and it was like an ice rink once the rain came. Even with the intermediate tyres, which are made especially for the rain, a lot of drivers struggled. But through it all, Lando Norris came with a lap 1.2 seconds faster than his next competitor, which was Lewis Hamilton. His lap is then deleted. Lewis is back for pole. And Lando's lap gets reinstated, moving him back in pole. So the front row for the sprint race on Saturday was Lando Norris and Lewis Hamilton, which was a nice change of pace. Now, I got up for the race. I thought, this is it. We're going to see a different winner. And lo and behold, Verstappen pulls it out of the bag. We had a great start from Hamilton. He got off the line very quickly. He took Lando Norris on the first corner. Lando Norris actually went off the track, lost 5 places, dropped down. Verstappen had a very slow start to the race, the sprint race. He actually said, he was heard on the radio saying that there was an issue with his battery. So his battery was completely flat and he had to use a couple of laps to start getting the power back in there. So when their battery is flat, they do lose power on the straight. And we could see that from the Red Bull. Now he held his position. And once the battery was charged, I think it was on lap 9, he caught Lewis Hamilton and he went on to win that race by 13 seconds. So very comfortable from there in the end. I had hoped that we'd see Lando convert that pole position into his maiden F1 win, but that still hasn't happened yet. It's interesting stat to come out of this weekend. He's had 15 podiums now without a win. Eddie Irvine is another driver that joins him in that. But Eddie Irvine, of course, did go on to have a couple of wins, and we are hopeful that Lando does too. Now, it was interesting as well in that sprint race because we saw the two Ferraris battling for position and at one stage making contact with each other. Now, I did watch some of the interviews after. Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, they have a great relationship. They're not going to lose any sleep over this. They talked about it. They cleared the air out and they got on with things for the next day. Now, the strange thing for me was we had this sprint race at 4 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock, 8:30 the next morning. We have qualifying, which is very strange to have a race and then qualifying. But despite Lewis Hamilton doing incredibly well during the sprint race, he could not carry that form into the qualifying. And he was actually knocked out in the first qualifying session. He started from 18th in the race this morning. It was business as usual for Verstappen. He gets his 5th pole in a row and he gets Red Bull's 100th pole in F1. He's joined in the front row by Sergio Perez, and behind them we had Alonso with the two McLarens behind. Now, McLarens did incredibly well this weekend. As I was doing my research for the build-up to this, I heard reading a lot about how they were really writing this weekend off and trying to look at damage limitation because they felt that the Shanghai track with its slow corners and long straights wouldn't suit the car. Now, they surprised everyone, including themselves. If you listen to Lando, I think at the start before the race, he said they expected to be about 30 seconds behind the Ferraris. He finished ahead of both Ferraris in both the race and the sprint race. So a fantastic weekend there for the McLarens. As I said, a bit of a shock to see Lewis out in Q1 after having such a great sprint race. And Hülkenberg is having a great season with Haas. he got that car into Q3. Very timely for him to be up there. He also finished in the points today because there are links with Audi starting to become starting to circulate. So we could see Hülkenberg in the Audi from next year. We also seen Bottas with the Sauber. Sauber is not, they're not doing well this year. The car isn't great and they're having a lot of issues with their pit stops. But Bottas is really pulling as much performance as he can. He put that car to P10. Now, unfortunately, his bad luck did continue. Bottas was the first car to DNF, so he did not finish the race, and that was due to an engine failure. So despite them getting the pit stops down and getting everything else right, the engine gave way in him, and unfortunately, he didn't finish. Now, Max Verstappen did finish. He finished first. He finished comfortably first. And from when the red lights went out, he was pulling out 1 second a lap ahead of his own teammate in the same machinery. We are witnessing something incredibly special. I know it's not that entertaining, but this guy is the real deal. And it's hard to imagine another talent with this consistency coming through anytime soon. Alonso also did very well at the start. For a 42 or 43-year-old, he looks very, very sharp. You can see his reaction times during the weekend. There was at one stage, dipped one of the back tires in the gravel, but his fast reactions kept him on course. When a younger driver, Spanish driver actually at that week, over the weekend, Carlos Sainz, hit that same gravel trap and lost the car. So he is doing incredibly well. Now, he didn't finish on the podium, but he did do pretty well in that Aston Martin. He did, however, burn through his tyres very early, trying to keep Perez behind, which allowed Perez to get through quite easily a few laps in, and Norris followed through. We did have some safety cars, as I mentioned. Bottas, his engine failed in a pretty dangerous part of the track. The car got stuck in gear, so the stewards couldn't roll it off and they had to get a crane. That caused a safety car. We've seen a lot of cars going in, changing the tyres. A lot of the front runners did it. Just as we're about to get underway again, there's a bit of a build-up coming into the second last corner. There's a concertina effect. We see one car break early and the rest of the cars react late, and we see multiple cars hitting each other. We had just gotten off again and there was another safety car called, and we did see a few cars drop out after that. Now, Lando Norris drove incredibly well today. He's finished P2 with Perez finishing the podium with the third place there. I've a feeling that we're starting to see a different fight this season. I don't think there's going to be a fight for first place in the constructors anymore. I think what we're going to start seeing is a fight between Ferrari and McLaren for second place. McLaren looks strong. Their first batch of upgrades will be coming in the next race in Miami. So they're working on their original spec, which is fantastic to see. Considering where they were this time last year, this is exciting stuff, especially for all the McLaren fans out there. Now, a couple of winners and losers. As I said, McLaren looked fantastic all weekend. Two great drivers. They've scored in every race and every sprint this year. Hülkenberg, another winner for me this year. Talks are going to Audi. I hope to see him there, and I hope that he gets a good car under him so that we can finally see him on the podium. Red Bull, another winner, of course. They're in a league of their own. Verstappen's in a league of his own. Perez was solid this weekend as well. And even though it didn't finish up very well for him, I did feel like Hamilton came out a winner this weekend. He came second in the sprint. If Verstappen wasn't there and if he had continued with his battery issues, he would have won that race. He recovered this morning from P18 to P9, so he finished in the points, so I'm putting him down as a winner today. The losers, as much as I wanted to put Bottas in the winners category, he's down as a loser this time only because of the engine issues he's having. He can't catch a break. He deserves to be in a better car, and I worry for Bottas next year when it comes to having his contract renewed. He's out of contract at the end of the season. Sauber are being taken over by Audi. It remains to be seen whether he does keep his seat. Now, another losers today, or another set of losers. It's hard to be calling them losers. Maybe they're just not winners. But RB, the sister team to Red Bull, did not have a great weekend. Yuki Tsunoda's form, unfortunately, hasn't carried through from the Japanese Grand Prix. He had a tip with Magnussen forcing him to retire. And then Ricciardo as well got caught up with an issue. I think it was with Hülkenberg, actually, the other Haas. He had to retire the car, and then after the race, he gets a 3-place grid penalty, which will be brought forward into the Miami Grand Prix for that incident with Hülkenberg. So, what do the standings look like? Max Verstappen is 110 points. We've got Sergio Perez in 85, Charles Leclerc 76 points, Carlos Sainz 69, and Lando Norris coming in fifth place with 58 points at the moment. Constructors, Red Bull are walking it, 195 points, Ferrari 151, and McLaren 96, which is your top three. Now, interestingly enough, Sauber not doing well in the on the track, but their fans this weekend on P1 Predict have been absolutely nailing it. They had the highest average score over the weekend of 5.0, followed by Red Bull, followed by Haas, followed by McLaren. So fair play to all of the Sauber fans out there who are representing. It's the same as Mercedes. When they don't have a great weekend, it seems like their fans absolutely take over on the app and do a great job. So that is the rundown from China. Next race we have coming up, it's not next weekend, it's the weekend after. May 3rd in Miami, first race in the States this year, and it's going to be another sprint race, which I'm really looking forward to.
Okay, I was just looking actually, I'm looking at the list of finishers. Logan Sargeant, 17th and pretty much last, 95 seconds behind Verstappen. I mean, okay, there's a few of these guys which I have a feeling we won't be getting to see in the future. But what we will be getting to see in the future, and this is what you call a segue, is a major event on Sunday, May the 26th. You were touching on it last week. Can you tell us more?
Absolutely, John. The perfect segue, if I might say. May 26th in Galway, we're going to be hosting an event for the Monaco Grand Prix. It's P1's first event in Galway. We are looking forward to it. We're just about to confirm the venue, which we'll be releasing soon. If anyone is interested in watching the Monaco Grand Prix, the prestigious Monaco Grand Prix, with a group of like-minded people, and if you're interested in winning prizes on the day for predictions, for loads of other things, check out p1predict.com/events, register your interest. We'll be releasing and opening up the tickets very, very soon, but the first people to hear about it will be whoever signs up there. We're going to be talking about it and previewing it in the next couple of sessions with yourself, John. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. We've got some incredible new features to debut as well on the weekend. So a lot to look forward to. So again, that's P1 Predict. That's the letter P, the number one, predict, predict.com/events. Register your details and we'll let you know as soon as the tickets open up. It's first come, first serve. There's already been a huge amount of interest in our events, so I'd recommend getting in there early and getting on the list. So looking forward to seeing everybody there. And hopefully, John, if you're not in the studio yourself that day, it'd be great to see you down there as well.
We'll see how it goes. Usually, though, I am studio bound, but we will be. I have a funny feeling that we will be going over there more than once on that Sunday afternoon as well to get a feeling of what's going on there and a bit of a kind of build up the excitement as well ahead of a huge event. Before we go, of course, there's no race next week, but what we will be doing, as we have gone five races into the season, next week we'll be talking about the stage of play so far. I suppose you could call it a bit of a midterm report.
Absolutely. So we'll be looking at the actual Formula One drivers and the constructors themselves. There's a lot of gossip and a lot to talk about in terms of the driver transfer market, considering that there are quite a few drivers without a contract come next season. So we'll be looking at some of the potential moves, maybe some of the potential lineups next year. Maybe starting trying to get kind of excited about that Ferrari lineup. I'm really hoping we also see Sainz get a seat. And I'll also be looking at some of the statistics behind P1 and the predictions that have gone into that. So we're hoping that we'll be able to look at some of the location-based statistics as well to see how the Irish fans compare maybe to the fans in the States, and also how the fans from each set of teams. So when you do register for P1 Predict, which it is never too late, there's a chance to win every single race week. We want to see how everybody does. So you pick your favorite team when you register, and then we'll see how all of those compare. So really looking forward to digging into that with you, John, next week. And we'll also have a look at the Constructors and the Drivers' Championship, and we'll see roughly where that's going in the next few months.
And before we wrap up this segment, we have to look at Brandon McGaughan. McGaughan, you were talking about, and you mentioned him a couple of times in the past couple of weeks. He's only getting two race weekends. Can you explain?
Yeah, so this is a strange one. Well, it's strange for me. Again, I don't know the ins and outs of all of the feeder series, but Brandon McCaughan last year, he won a competition to be given the chance to trial a GB4 car. He did incredibly well. He got his place with a team. He then, in his first race weekend, qualifies for pole for 2 out of 3 of the races, comes third of one of the races, and wins the other race. So an incredible start. This is the first season he's ever had in a wings and slicks car, as they call it, which is new terminology for me too, but did incredibly well. Now, what I find out is Brandon's only got the shot for that race weekend and the next race weekend in Silverstone. After that, he's not guaranteed a seat because of lack of sponsorship and maybe some of the funding as well. So this is quite, it's disappointing. I'm really hoping that something comes out of it. The guy has got serious talent and a huge potential. Now, bear in mind, he's in a field of drivers that are full-time drivers. Brandon still has a full-time job. He won a race in Oldham Park a few weeks ago, and the next morning had to fly home for work back here in Ireland. So this guy, with all of that going on, is still managing to pull out these results. So if there's anybody out there listening that could fix it so that we keep this Irish flag and this Irish driver in GB4, it would be greatly appreciated. He's an incredible talent. I would totally encourage everyone to check out the highlights from that Oldham Park race. It was a wet race, and I do believe Brandon, in his early days, he's still very young, but in his younger days, did some rallycross, and you can see him with total confidence and total control of that car. He was drifting that car in certain spots. So yeah, it's a little bit disappointing to hear. And again, it's something that I've touched on before. We don't have a massive motorsport scene here, at least not in the slicks and wings kind of category. We do have some go-karting. It's obviously not as big as the UK. There's a lot more funding for it in the UK, but I'm hopeful that Brandon is able to put in another big performance in Silverstone, and that we do see the interest there, or that we see somebody pick him up for a few more races so that he can prove himself. So yeah, let's all keep an eye out for that.
I presume, and I'm only guessing here, but I would presume that he knew he would only have two race weekends, but then if it was told something else, he could find himself in a bit of bother. We hope it, though, he does get that drive, and we hope that he does find himself racing a bit more regularly. And if he wins the next weekend, before we go, Dara, if he wins one of the races, there's a very good chance he could be picked up.
Absolutely. And like you said, you were right to presume it was always going to be a two race weekend setup. Absolutely. He puts himself in very good contention for a seat if he manages to win one of the races. I do believe they have three races every weekend. He has shown himself and proved himself in every race that he's been in. The one race that he lost it to Pamowski. She's one of the drivers tipped to go into the F1 Academy. So he's in good company here, and he had beaten her in another two races. So look, let's keep our fingers crossed, and let's hope he can pull it off again.
Okay, well, Dara, we will leave it there for now, but thanks a million for joining us, and we will be talking next week about the stage of play after five races of the Formula One season. But for now, Dara, thanks a million.
Cheers, John. Thank you.